Greetings, this is Stephen Merritt, and I apparently on WGXC Accra, which I think of as WGXC Hudson, but I don't know. I've never been to Accra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today, state lawmakers are furiously working, trying to beat the April 1st deadline for the state budget. And this hour, we will hear from the Green Party presidential candidate, Howie Hawkins, who lives in New York and has a few opinions on New York State's budget this year. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. We'll hear a preview of a Cuban musical performance Friday night at the Sanctuary for Independent Media that'll also be live on WGXC. Stay tuned. It all begins after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Connection and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
Friday, April 1st, we are not fooling. There are two live shows on WGXC 90.7 FM. First, at 7:30 p.m., we go live to Troy, New York, where Cuban performers Omar Souza, Sekou Keita, and Gustavo Ovales are performing a jazz show. Then at 9 p.m., we're live from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill with the Glass Pony Band from Albany, an indie post-rock band, with Shonda Dewey on drums, Eddie Hodling on guitar, Jeff Picarizzi on bass, and Greg Pitts on guitar. So tune in Friday night to WGXC for live music, first from the Sanctuary for Independent Media with Omar Souza, Sekou Keita, and Gustavo Ovales, and then the Glass Pony Band plays on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. Tune in at WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-I's into here's-how-you-cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Elizabeth Powell Leather Items of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Melanie Lekosevic reports for Capital Region Independent Media that the Ravina Queeman Selkirk Central School District and its teachers union have signed a new collective bargaining agreement, the district announced March 29th. The members of the Ravina Queeman's Selkirk Teachers Association have been working without a contract since June 2021. The district and the union had been in talks for more than a year, since January 2021. The new contract is retroactive to July 1st, 2021, and continues through June 30th, 2023, according to the district. The details of the agreement were not immediately available. District Superintendent Dr. Brian Bailey said in a statement that a key priority was, quote, establishing salaries that will attract and maintain a staff that works tirelessly on behalf of the children in our care, unquote. Science teacher and union president Matt Miller said the new contract is a step in the right direction. Quote, although the process for negotiations for this contract was somewhat prolonged, we made important initial steps toward achieving our ultimate goal of creating a competitive salary schedule, unquote, Miller said. Read more about the story at theupstater.com.
Larry Rolson reports in the Times Union that in 2019, the nonprofit environmental group Scenic Hudson filed a lawsuit against the Hohenstein family in New Baltimore. The family sold a conservation easement to Scenic Hudson in 2012 for $258,850 for the 59-acre former fruit farm. But in 2019, Ann Hohenstein was paid $68,000 by a forestry company to cut down hundreds of trees on the property, she says, to allow the forest to replenish itself and regrow. Scenic Hudson considered that a commercial logging venture that violated the terms of the easement and caused erosion and let invasive species to flourish. Scenic Hudson owns about 130 similar easements throughout the Hudson Valley, but rarely needs to litigate after the easements are created. Seth McKean, executive director of Scenic Hudson based in Poughkeepsie, said, and I quote, "It's very rare that things end up in the courts. Once we discovered the harvest, we had to intervene," end quote. The trial was scheduled to begin next month, but now Scenic Hudson has filed for summary judgment to have the judge rule in its favor, which Hohenstein opposes. Hohenstein's attorney, Adam Schultz, said about the destroying of the trees, and I quote, "What she did was for the long-term health of the land," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Mid-Hudson News is reporting that the State Department of Corrections and Community Supervision announced March 28th it will discharge approximately 8,000 paroled individuals with state supervision by the end of the month under a good faith measure of the Less is More legislation signed into law by Governor Kathy Hochul in September. The measure is intended to improve justice and safety in city jails, ensure the state prison system focuses its resources on helping people successfully complete community supervision, and avoid a future return to the custody or supervision of the state prison system. Quote, "Parole officers will continue to play a vital role in keeping our communities safe while leveraging a variety of resources to ensure successful outcomes for formerly incarcerated individuals," unquote, said Acting Department of Corrections and Community Supervision Commissioner Anthony Annucci. As of March 25th, there are 25,949 people on parole under community supervision statewide, compared with 31,019 on February 28th. Read more about this story at midhudsonnews.com.
Noah Eckstein reports for Columbia Green Media that more than 100 boat docks were installed in Hudson on the Hudson River March 26th by members of the Hudson Powerboat Association. Every spring, the group reintroduces the 20-foot-long docks to the river. Bill Hogenkamp, commandeur of the Hudson Powerboat Association, said, and I quote, "We get a lot of transients who spend the winter months down south, then they move back up the Hudson and ask for dockage," end quote. About 60 boats and craft used by the Columbia County Sheriff's Department, Greenport Rescue Squad, and Hudson Fire Department, and the Hudson Powerboat Association get docked in Hudson. New dock master Henry Haddad said, and I quote, "The only way any of the work can get done is by the turnout of the members. Previous dock masters have made the work much easier," end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Paul Kirby reports for the Daily Freeman that Central Hudson will increase electricity and gas delivery charges this summer in the midst of complaints of skyrocketing bills, Public Service Commission investigations, and a public relations campaign by the utility. The delivery charges approved by the Public Service Commission are set to increase in July. In November, the commission approved a delivery rate plan for Central Hudson that runs through June 2024. The utility sent a notice to customers on March 29th explaining that the July increase in delivery charges was a part of the state-approved rate plan approved by the state, utility spokesperson Joseph Jenkins said in a statement. the slight decrease in electric delivery charges and the 1.2% increase in gas delivery charges were prorated to make up for the period between July and December when a final ruling by state regulators was pending. Under the plan approved by the commission, the estimated impact on an average customer is an annual cost of about $64 more in 2024 than now. Energy prices are likely to go up through the end of this year due to a recovering economy, energy supply constraints, strong energy demands, and global events, including the war in Ukraine, the company added. The PSC in Central Hudson initially proposed delivery rates designed to increase revenue by $32.8 million per year for electricity and $14.4 million per year for natural gas. Those proposals would have driven up customer rates for electricity delivery by 6.2% and gas delivery by 8%, the PSC said. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Phoebe Taylor-Vuolo reports for PBS station WSKG that Representative Antonio Delgado visited a Delaware County dairy farm last week. At Clark Farms Creamery near Delhi, fifth-generation dairy farmer Kyle Clark said supply chain issues have raised his operating costs. Clark said, and I quote, "The price of milk's definitely improved, especially in the last couple of months. But relative to the increase in input cost and even the availability of a lot of those things, it's not keeping up," end quote. Delgado said he is working to create more demand for milk. Delgado said, and I quote, "Making sure that our milk can go to our schools, milk can go to our hospitals, milk can go to our community centers. Wherever there's more localized opportunities to grow and build from, that should be the focus," end quote. Congressperson Delgado has co-sponsored legislation to provide whole milk in schools instead of 1% and fat-free milk, and also wants New York City to keep serving chocolate milk to students. Delgado, though, does not comment in the story about whether farm workers should get paid overtime the same way grocery store and other workers are paid when they exceed 40 hours a week. The Farm Bureau opposes farm workers getting overtime at 40 hours. Read more about this story at the WSKG website.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, a chance of rain, mainly after 4 p.m. It will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 42 degrees. And Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a low of around 34 degrees. And on Thursday, showers, mainly after 2 p.m. with a temperature high near 60 degrees. And Thursday night, showers and possibly a thunderstorm before 1 a.m. with a temperature low of around 42 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Wednesday, March 30th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the radio at 90.7, including the Synth Eclectico show is on at 10 a.m. with tracks this week from Benoit Piard, Alex Wadergren, and Aurora X, among others. Then the second ever edition of Talk Radio from Kurt Gulchok is on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. He says it's a radio show that utilizes talking to make radio. At 3 p.m., it's time for the Radio Survivor Show, another talk show about radio. Then at 7 p.m., it's time for the Project Censored Show with guests Tracy Rosenberg and Simke Kuznick this week. Rock and Roll High School is live from Hudson at 8 p.m. And on Music for the Masses, Neva Wartell swings into spring at 10 p.m. on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. Together now.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Friday, April 1st, we are not fooling. There are two live shows on WGXC 90.7 FM. First, at 7:30 p.m., we go live to Troy, New York, where Cuban performers Omar Souza, Saku Keita, and Gustavo Ovales are performing a jazz show. And at 9 p.m., we're live from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill with the Glass Pony Band from Albany, an indie post-rock band, with Shonda Dewey on drums, Eddie Hodling on guitar, Jeff Picarizzi on bass, and Greg Pitts on guitar. So tune in Friday night to WGXC for live music, first from the Sanctuary for Independent Media with Omar Souza, Saku Keita, and Gustavo Ovales, and then the Glass Pony Band plays on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. Tune in at WGXC.org.
Most radio shows don't come with a demonstration, but most radio shows aren't Radio Wonderland.
Greatest hits.
Right, so then I take more pieces of live radio, slice them, fit them into the groove, and then in a few minutes you get something like...
In LA, some restriction applied.
It's radio made completely out of radio. I'm Joshua, but you just call me Radio Wonderland.
10:30 a.m. Saturday mornings till 11.
Some restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, March 30th. Early morning temperatures range from 15 degrees in Arkville to 25 in Quarryville. The warming trend begins now, but expect some fluctuations. Cloud cover grows today as the temperature rises to 45 degrees by 4 p.m. A little rain will show up between 4 and dark. That is 4 p.m. and dark. Overnight, temperatures fall to a more reasonable 38 degrees. Then, a slow, steady rise to 61 degrees by dark on Thursday. That warmth will bring increasing amounts of rain all day. It's going to peak just after dark and then become light as temperatures fall to 48 degrees. On Friday, light rain continues and temperatures rise just a little, reaching 51 degrees. A dip to 33 degrees overnight takes us into a dry Saturday with a high of 53. Sunday, we'll have a high of 54 and a slight chance for rain. Pollen levels for today will be low, same for tomorrow. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 2:26 a.m., then low tide at 8:50 a.m., high tide again at 2:45 p.m. and low tide once again at 9:17 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 39 degrees. I know, a little sad, but trust me, it's about to turn around. Sunset today will be at 7:04 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:38 a.m. Looking way up, we see a regional aurora watch is happening late tonight and early tomorrow. We are expecting company in the form of several coronal mass ejections that could energize the atmosphere enough to bring auroras down to New York State. Solar wind speed is currently 408 kilometers per second at 7.9 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 megahertz till dark, then fair up past 50 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 124. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Hi, Laura Kuhn here, director of the John Cage Trust, bringing you a deep dive into the intriguing life and work of Renaissance man John Cage. celebrated composer, poet, philosopher, chess pupil of Marcel Duchamp, life partner of Merce Cunningham, macrobiotic chef, exponent of Zen, visual artist, and avid and pioneering mycologist. Tune in to All Things Cage, 7 p.m. Saturdays beginning January 2nd, for conversations with cage experts and enthusiasts from around the world, right here at Wave Farm's WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, and via the web at wavefarm.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Stephanie Fleischman of Columbiaville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Just what is it that you want to do?
Well, we want to be free. We want to be free to do what we want to do. We want to be free to ride. And we want to be free to ride our machines without being hassled by the man.
Next, we hear three Cuban musicians performing Friday, April 1st at the Sanctuary for Independent Media in Troy. The show is sold out, but they have a live web stream, and WGXC will be picking it up too, 7:30 p.m. Friday, April 1st. Tune in at 90.7 FM and wgxc.org/listen to Omar Souza, Saku Keita, and Gustavo Alvarez. Here is their song, Carit, from their 2022 album, Suba.
Harito, jur namo.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
So we ought not be fooling, and nobody should be fooling ourselves, by the Kremlin's now recent claim that it will suddenly just reduce military attacks near Kyiv.
Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby said Russian movement away from Kyiv may be a repositioning rather than a withdrawal, tempering optimism over the potential for peace. General Todd Wolters, head of the U.S. European Command, told senators American troops are helping secure the Polish side of the Ukraine border.
So that force has been integral to ensure that the 4 million-plus refugees from Ukraine have a soft landing once they come into Europe.
President Biden met Tuesday with Singaporean Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong, who said the two countries are strengthening ties.
We reaffirm the long-standing and multifaceted partnership between Singapore and the U.S. and our shared commitment to a stable, rules-based global order.
Biden also signed legislation to make lynching a federal hate crime, punishable by 30 years in prison. The legislation is named for Emmett Till, whose lynching in 1955 and open casket funeral helped fuel the civil rights movement. Economists say supply chain disruptions will continue to affect the U.S. economy after Russia's invasion of Ukraine sent oil prices surging. White House Council of Economic Advisors Chair Cecilia Rouse reiterated pocketbooks will feel the sting.
We can expect that while our sanctions are going to have their focus and most of their impact on the Russian economy, that we can expect that we will see a bit of impact in the United States as well.
The FDA approved a second coronavirus booster for people 50 and older to help ward off a potential spike of an Omicron subvariant. Manuel Gordillo, medical director at Sarasota Memorial Hospital, said vaccines should hold up against new variants.
It's clear that, at least for Delta, the vaccine works very well. So there is no reason for concern with Delta that we're going to have a problem with vaccine escapes.
Patient advocates and healthcare experts testified Tuesday before Senate lawmakers about medical debt. Robin King, a teacher in Cleveland, Ohio, recently received $70,000 in surprise medical bills from her mother's nursing home.
I was shocked when the nursing home told me in May 2020 that mom's Medicaid had not been reapproved and that I was now responsible for paying a huge bill.
And in Kentucky, Quintez Brown, a man who police said fired a handgun at a Louisville mayoral candidate, has been indicted by a grand jury on one count of attempted murder and four counts of first-degree wanton endangerment. I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're joined today by Howie Hawkins, several times the candidate for the Green Party here in New York for governor, and recently the Green Party's presidential nominee. The Green Party recently issued its press release outlining its view of the state budget that's being negotiated, allegedly by April 1st, by the Governor Hochul and state lawmakers. So, Howie, what were some of the key points that the Greens would like to see put into this year's state budget?
Well, we're in a climate emergency, and the governor's budget doesn't act like it. Nor does the legislation that passed a couple of years ago, the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act, which is pretty weak. I mean, in the, you know, the whereas is at the beginning, it says our goal is 450 parts per million carbon in the atmosphere, when, you know, the standard that our foremost climate scientist set up, James Hansen, was 350 parts per million. They're like 15 years behind the time. And their goals are only 40% carbon emission reduction by 2030, and they say 85% by 2050. They also put it as 100% net zero, which means there's going to be 15% of the carbon emissions still going if they are even able to do that plan. And they say they'll offset it, you know, with carbon sequestration and things like that. This is totally inadequate. I mean, we just had another report besides the International Panel on Climate Change coming out from the Tyndall Center for Climate Change Research in the United Kingdom. and their lead author, he's kind of the James Hansen of the United Kingdom, Kevin Anderson, and their analysis is just to have a 50% chance to stay below 1.5 degrees Celsius rise in global temperatures, rich countries like the U.S., like New York, have to cut emissions 74% by 2030 and 100% by 2034. That's not what the state is trying to do. So, you know, the Green Party's saying we need something like $30 billion invested in climate action, as well as the just transition and economic bill of rights, so that people are kept whole as we make this fundamental transition of our production systems, not just power production, but transportation, our buildings, our manufacturing. So, you know, we had a bill, the Greens had a hand in writing with groups like Food and Water Watch, called Off Fossil Fuels, 100% Renewables by 2030. That's the kind of legislation we need. That's the kind of policy we need. And it's not in the state budget.
You mentioned the Economic Bill of Rights. One of the things in that, and also which the Green Party and others have been pushing for decades, is the concept of, you know, single-payer health care. That doesn't seem to be making it in, even though the Democrats control both houses. And
well, the insurance industry's been pouring money into the Democratic Party. They've been bought off. I mean, they promised us when they got a majority in the Senate, then they'd have both houses and the governorship, and we would get the New York health plan, the single-payer plan. You know, that's why the Green Party says, that's why we need the Green Party, because we're really committed to that. We're not just talking about it. It's very popular. It gets people votes. But when it comes time to actually do it, the Democrats, they punt. They don't do it. It's a big problem.
What are some of the other parts of an Economic Bill of Rights that the Greens would like to see in this year's budget that so far is facing an uphill struggle?
Well, we believe everybody willing and able to work ought to be able to have a living wage job. And our climate investments would definitely provide that. It's an enormous job creator. We believe everybody ought to be able to survive above the poverty line. We'd like to see a guaranteed minimum income built into the state income tax, so that if your income is below the poverty line, the state would send you checks every month to bring you up above. And that's a way to end poverty. We'd like to see lifelong public education, from universal child care and pre-K through tuition-free public college. And then we have rights that are weak, like paid family leave. It's only 12 weeks in New York. In Europe, it's between 6 months and 3 years. So we think that standard could come up. So, and then housing. I mean, we have enormous housing problems. So we want a just cause eviction law passed to protect tenants. But more than that, instead of privatizing public housing like they're doing in New York City, we want to see the housing fixed up. It's you know, in disrepair, and then expand public housing, because that's a way to guarantee affordable housing. So there's a whole lot of social protections, economic rights that you know, New York State could provide and really set an example for the country.
I know that the Green Party also been very supportive of, you know, always been undocumented workers, and support this, I guess, $3 billion for the excluded workers fund. But another issue, which the Democrats did do some reforms in recent years on, has been, you know, criminal justice, which I know is an issue that you've been raising for decades. There seems to be some push, particularly by the governor, Governor Hochul, to undo some of the reforms, particularly with respect to, you know, bail reform. You know, how would the Green agenda on criminal justice differ from, say, what, you know, Hochul is pushing?
Well, we would argue, like the state comptroller's study, you know, demonstrated, that bail reform is working. We don't need mass incarceration. We don't need poor people sitting in jail waiting for trial, sometimes months, even years. If they're not a danger to the public safety, they should be able to, you know, go about their lives till they have their day in court. And we would put a lot more money into preventing crime, you know, ending poverty, supporting people who are reintegrating into society after serving terms. And then qualified immunity. You know, the police have extra protections when they do something wrong that the rest of us don't. And that's, you know, that's not equal justice. So there's still a lot to do in the criminal justice area.
I know one of the issues that the Greens have pushed a lot for, and which finally was done, was the issue of marijuana legalization. Had a pretty slow, rollout so far. How should that, be expedited, move along a little bit more quickly?
Well, one of the things we got to make sure is that, small business can get involved, particularly people in the communities that were so devastated by this war on drugs. And, what it looks like right now is that bigger businesses are going to get those markets. So we need to, basically regulate that market so the little guys can participate.
And, what were some of the other issues, either in the budget or even post-budget, sort of closed down that the Greens would like to see enacted this year?
Well, we oppose cutting the gas tax, which is going to be an inequitable way to provide relief to people. A lot of people don't drive, so they're not going to get any savings from that, particularly lower income people. We have advocated a carbon tax with at least a partial rebate of that tax on a per capita basis to people. And poor and working people would come out ahead and would get savings across the board, whether they drive or not. And it would create incentives for people to move to renewables and electric vehicles. If we cut the gas tax, then we're just telling people, go out and drive and guzzle gas. That won't help with climate. So we think there's a better way to relieve people that are, hurting from these higher gasoline tax prices, and that's a carbon tax. So that's one of the things we're advocating. And then in terms of, making this transition so people can retrofit their homes with heat pumps, solar panels, or even small wind where that's appropriate, we need public banking to provide climate loans so that the upfront costs are covered, and then people are saving money because they're not having to buy fuel all the time for their, gas for heating, for example, and they're generating electricity if they have a solar panel. So if that's funded up front, the difference between what they're paying for electricity for their new heat pump and the electricity they're getting from their solar panel and the fuel costs they used to pay enables them to pay back that loan over time. Yeah. And what we need, because most people can't afford to do the upfront investment and say a heat pump.
We're out of time, Mr. Hawkins. One last quick question. Green Party, support or oppose the idea of giving $600 million state dollars to the Buffalo Bills for a new stadium?
Yeah, we don't need another Buffalo Billion, more corporate welfare. I would entertain public ownership like the Green Bay Packers, but that's not what they're talking about.
Okay. Howie Hawkins, Green Party. This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
This is Tom Rowe in Acre with your renewable weather forecast from your solar-powered radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Wednesday, the prediction is for rain from the National Weather Service, mainly after 3 p.m. It'll be partly sunny before that, so the solar panels will get some juice with a high near 40. Wednesday night, again, there's a chance of rain, a 20% chance, with mostly cloudy skies and a low around 33. Thursday, there's an 80% chance of showers, mainly after 2 p.m., so not much sun for your solar panels on Thursday. Thursday night, though, there are more showers predicted. There's an 80% chance, but there's also lots of wind for your windmills. 6 to 9 miles per hour is the average wind, and it could gust as high as 20 miles per hour on Thursday night. Friday, again, there's a chance of showers. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny with a high of 49 and a low around 28. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar powered for your open ears.
Tamulina,
Santé serait là. Yeah, yeah. Grab it and let them all in love. Santé serait là.
That was Omar Sosa, Sekou Keita, and Gustavo Ovelles with their song Ala Leno from their 2022 album Suba. The trio from Cuba perform Friday, April 1st at the Sanctuary for Independent Media. The show is sold out, but WGXC will pick up the Sanctuary for Independent Media's live web stream 7:30 p.m. to 9 on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2317, this is Ham Nation Headlines for Wednesday, March 30th, 2022. Our top story this week takes us to the space station that China's building, module by module. The latest word is that one of those modules will have room for amateur radio.
China's Tiangong space station, which is being constructed in low Earth orbit following the launch of its first module last May, is expected to have room for astronauts, experiments, and now amateur radio. The IAAU Satellite Frequency Coordination Panel reports that it received an application on March 8th for an amateur radio payload to be on board. The amateur radio station is applying to use portions of the VHF-UHF amateur radio band and will consist of communications by voice, repeater, AFSK digipeater, and SSTV or other digital imaging modes. Not unlike the radios on board the International Space Station, the ham radios on the Chinese space station are intended for a variety of uses, including contacts with students to inspire careers in science, technology, engineering, and math. According to the application, the payload would launch in the third quarter of this year. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF.
Hams from Belarus and the Russian Federation are feeling the impact after their nation's memberships were suspended from the European Conference of Postal and Telecommunications Administrations.
The European Conference of Postal and Telecommunications Administrations has indefinitely suspended the membership of Belarus and the Russian Federation in a sweeping action that has an impact on amateur radio operators. An agreement within the conference, known as CEPT, grants amateur radio privileges to qualifying hams travelling between signatory countries without the need to obtain additional permits or licences. The CEPT was formed to foster cooperation among its member nations with regards to postal and electronic communications. The suspension, which comes in the wake of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, took effect on the 18th of March. The Russian Federation joined CEPT in 1994. Belarus became a member in 2003. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
As we saw last week with an extremely rare EF3 tornado ripping through parts of New Orleans, weather preparedness is a priority everywhere, and as hams, we can get involved.
As we here in the United States approach the season for thunderstorms, tornadoes, and hurricanes, the National Weather Service is holding severe weather preparedness weeks across the country. Tornado drills, announcements through the media, and personal preparation information are just a few ways the Weather Service is getting the word out at this time of year to be prepared. It's a good time for amateur radio operators involved in ARIES, RACI, CERT, Skywarn, and other groups to ensure that we are also prepared. This includes making sure that all radios, accessories, along with backup power sources are fully functional and that all contact information is up to date with the agencies and organizations served. Christopher Strong, Warning Coordination Meteorologist for the Baltimore, Washington, D.C. Weather Forecast Office, told Amateur Radio Newsline that hams can play a big part in being weather aware by knowing what threats are possible. Hams should have a plan if extreme weather occurs. Strong said that during an event, operators are important as they actively gather impact data from their community and get that information back to the National Weather Service, which improves the accuracy of the notifications being issued. Over the years, the motto, "When all else fails, amateur radio," has proven true in many situations. This is not only due to amateur operators' readiness to serve, but our willingness to be prepared. For more information, go to weather.gov and click on Spring Preparedness. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Randy Sly, W4XJ.
A reminder, the nominating period for the 2022 Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award is now open. The nominating form can be found on our website, arnewsline.org. Hover your mouse over awards and you'll see it in the top of the drop-down menu. We invite you to join us in Alabama at the Huntsville Ham Fest on Saturday, August 20th, as we present the award live on the main stage. To learn more about the Huntsville Ham Fest, please visit hamfest.org. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at arnewsline.org. With Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF, Ed Durant, DD5LP, Randy Sly, W4XJ, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe, I'm Don Wilbanks at E5DW73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation.
Thank you. million.